This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, August 26th. I'm Patricia Naft. A local group aiming at improving the Western Slope economy has just received a very large grant. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The federal government just awarded $250,000 to Region 10, a Montrose-based economic organization. The grant was awarded by the Economic Development Administration, or the EDA. I spoke with Jay Stooksberry, the Regional Development Coordinator for Region 10.
Region 10 is actually a council of governments that functions as a regional quasi-governmental entity that represents Delta, Gunnison, Hinsdale, Ouray, San Miguel, and Montrose counties. And we work in partnership with the municipalities and the county governments within this particular region to move forward on various initiatives related to economic community development, small business development, and other, you know, technical assistance and services.
Could you tell me about this grant?
Absolutely. So this conversation was initiated in response to the Oxbow mine closing this previous winter. Obviously, we're all very familiar with the region's reliance on coal mining in terms of revenue, not only in severance taxes, but also for job creation, and how reliant this particular area is on that economy as well, too. So this was an opportunity that Mark Udall actually expressed concern for the region and urged the EDA to be in discussion with Region 10, Delta and Gunnison counties, specifically all the municipality governments and the county governments within that region about how can we make things better, how can we diversify these economies, and how can we try to basically prepare the region for those low points where coal mining is obviously a boom and bust sort of cycle, and we wanted to try and come up with a plan on how to diversify and how to build resilience in our economies. This was initiated by Mark Udall. We had letters of support from both Michael Bennett and Scott Tipton's office, too. So I think we have a very broad-based coalition of people that are very interested in this region, and I'm kind of excited to see how this goes.
Yeah, that's great. Why do you think this project kind of transcended the partisan politics?
It's hard to say. Being an election year, that tends to be an easy win for anybody that signs up for it. But I think everybody is concerned about what needs to be done to help, you know, improve the resiliency of communities like Delta, like other places in the Western Slope, too, to how do we fully recover from what happened back in 2008? Because, frankly, we've definitely seen development. We've definitely seen a lot of improvements on the Front Range, but the Western Slope has still struggled to fully recover.
Jay says the money will go towards funding feasibility reports, looking into projects that would diversify and stimulate the local economy. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Colorado's legislature this year created the state's own air fleet for fighting wildfires. The endeavor includes 4 helicopters, 2 single-engine air tankers, and 2 PC-12 single-engine planes equipped with new thermal imaging technology. The move has put Colorado at the forefront of utilizing advanced technology to battle the destructive blazes. Reporter Ryan May Handy wrote a series of articles for the Colorado Springs Gazette about this new technology. She joins KRCC's Andrea Chalfin to talk about it.
Now, the Colorado legislature set aside this $20 million for their own air fleet, and 2 of these crafts are these PC-12s for what the Colorado Office of Emergency Management is calling multi-mission aircraft. There is a specific purpose to this, though, and that's the thermal imaging technology. So describe for us what that is and what it does for firefighters.
Thermal imaging basically shows differences in temperature, and fire officials have really 2 main applications for this. The first is fire detection. So part of the impetus for this came from for how long firefighters searched for the origin of what would become the 2012 Waldo Canyon fire. And records show that the search for the source of that smoke began on that Friday, June 22nd, and continued into Saturday with no point of discovery until around noon when it was already way too late. And the idea is that thermal imaging technology in this aircraft would allow pilots to fly over where the smoke had been reported and immediately locate the source. So in theory, that would allow boots on the ground to deal with it long before the fire becomes too big of a problem. And the second purpose of thermal imaging technology is more detailed and frequent updates to fire data maps. These planes are designed to fly in just about any condition, so that's at night, during the day, through smoke, and the expectation is that they can provide close to real-time updates to managers and crews on the ground and let them know where the intense hotspots are. And the advantage is that can really help inform their firefighting strategy.
And that's different than what firefighters use now, which is infrared technology. So why is that infrared technology limited in its application?
Infrared planes are run by the Forest Service, and there are two planes. They're known as NIROPS, and they fly over fires once every 12 hours, and they can only fly at night. And infrared cameras work differently than thermal images. Infrared are basically a bunch of mirrors that collect light from the Earth's surface. And because of this, they're not very accurate or precise, so they can mistake things like really hot rocks for hot spots. And also, fires are really bright on infrared images. They're too bright. So these images, as I said, aren't really detailed.
And one of the issues that we saw with both Waldo Canyon fire and the Black Forest fire is this notion of jurisdictions. You know, with Waldo, it was a question about when the C-130s could get into the air. And with Black Forest, there's questions about when authority was handed over to the county. Are there any sort of related issues over the use of these planes? Or, you know, is it simply that the county or whoever can just call up the state and say, hey, can we get a PC-12 here?
And that's exactly how it's supposed to work. A simple phone call and a request should get the planes over the fire. But in terms of glitches, I think you really said it. The biggest issue will probably be jurisdiction. So these PC-12s will be available to any fire that has state resources on it. But what if the fire, like Waldo Canyon or High Park, starts in Forest Service land? That could be really common and is really common in Colorado, but the odds that the process of getting the planes from the state to the federal firefighting crews is probably going to be pretty streamlined.
Are there any other implications for this technology?
Oh, definitely. These planes are called multi-mission aircraft for a reason, and I've been told that they can really help with any state search or rescue mission except looking for escaped prisoners. They can't see through snow, though, so they might be limited in avalanche cases. But the state intends to use them for backcountry searches, rescue missions, really anything that could benefit from picking up heat signatures on the landscape. And also, just because Colorado has these planes, it doesn't mean that we can't share them. And right now, they have a test flight, so a temporary PC-12 that's equipped with the same technology will take to the skies on August 31st, and the state plans to have their own two planes equipped sometime this fall.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned for the Tuesday Morning Music Mix with Ashley. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.